at the change in the Baron's temperament. Christy could feel herself strengthening. She'd expended much more energy in the past in destroying enemies far more powerful than the two Sekhmen, and her recovery would be quicker. Lori, at her side, stood straight and tall. Only the faintest trembling told Christy how tense the young girl was.
Enough of this. Come with us, and I'll show you what happens to anyone standing against the anger of Baron Tormont, High Priest of Lafayette, Lord Amarde, Night Stalker, and Spirit Razor.
And all around shit.
Christy saw the Baron's finger whiten on the trigger of the pretty M16. He gestured with the gun.
Come. See how the kin of the Snow Wolf, your friend, is treated.
Outside, there were a dozen armed Sekhmen waiting to escort them through the echoing basement corridors of the large motel. His head bent to avoid some of the painted metal pipes that festooned the ceilings, the Baron led the way toward steep iron stairs. He negotiated them slowly and with obvious difficulty, leaning on Mephisto to steady himself. Jack Lauren stalked around the auditorium, the tiny pieces of metal sewn into his clothes glinting in the overhead lamp, so that at times he seemed to be wearing a suit of dancing lights. They'd been talking for an hour, not even stopping when bowls of hot stew were brought in from the kitchen of a nearby house. The meat was a light pinkish-gray, tough and salty, and a broth with fresh vegetables. Finn devoured his and asked for more. Only when he'd nearly finished the second helping did he ask what it was. The woman with the scar across her neck grinned, but no smile could ever light up her stony eyes.
What your guess, Finnegan?
Some kind of bird, or maybe horse.
Nope. It's gator meat. Killed this morning, so it's real fresh.
Ha! No shit! Give me a third helping. Day or so back, one of them fuckers tried to fucking eat me, lady. Nice to know I'm getting my own back.
That right, Finn. Same way chill Baron and all.
Not unless we get the details of this plan worked out. We got a lot of pieces and none of them stick together. You showed us the plan of the Best Western and told us how many men and what kind of weapons they got.
And you showed us what you got. You sure you told us all?
Sure. Blasters, ammo, grins. Some high X, but not much. Two flamers we captured when we got the swamp wag last week.
There's that gas jelly, Jack.
What? How's that?
Yeah. Year more back, three of us, one was Pa, near got jumped by a Sekhmen up near old highway. Hid in brush and found a war wag from before the winters. Army. Two smaller wags with it. Few blasters, fucked by water and mud. But in back was drums of this gas jelly.
How many? How big?
20. All about 4 feet tall. Opened one. Sticky. Fuck was it sticky. Tried dipping a hunk of wood in it, and it burned like gas. But we couldn't see no use for it.
Jelly that burns like gas. Know what it is, Ryan?
I know, Mr. Dix.
What?
That, gentlemen, is napalm.
Baron Tormont led them onto a low concrete dock that jutted into an expanse of murky water. It faced west, toward a red sun that was sliding near the horizon, sinking behind bayous lined with stunted trees, their roots tangling above the brown slime. The stone dock was mud-smeared, chipped, and broken where it came in contact with the water. It stood about 3 feet above the swamp, on pilings of rusted iron. Several wide-bottomed metal canoes were tied to the pier. Across the water, Christy could make out the silhouette of a building, open on two sides, a stone table at its center. Her sight was exceedingly sharp, and she could see metal rings at each corner of the table, and the thick stains that ran down from the top. Sek guards ranged around them as they stood there in the cooling late afternoon, with the Baron and Mephisto at their head.
Now for you to meet an old friend, ladies. The father of your leader.
Christy felt Lori stiffen, the word Ryan on her lips, and nudged her into silence.
Our leader?
Jack Lauren, slut. The White Wolf himself. We hold the coward's own father. Bring him here, and the pitch.
The air filled with a tang of hot tar as four Sekhmen struggled with an iron cauldron that bubbled and smoked. Two others brought out a prisoner cuffed between them. He was short and frail, wearing only rags of cotton, with a pair of rubber sandals flapping on his feet.
Father Lord, I believe you three have met before.
The man, who looked to be close to Doc's age, ignored the Baron, staring stubbornly at his own feet. Lori shook her head and looked away. Christy was puzzled. It seemed as though Tormont genuinely thought they knew each other. If it wasn't a trick, then what did he think was going on? She knew the leader of the other gang in West Lowellton, the Snow Wolf, was the bitter enemy of the Baron. If he was called Jack Lauren, then this old man was his father. Why had the Baron brought him out? What was he trying to prove? There wasn't long to wait. Tamon gestured for Mephisto to approach. The sec boss sidled to the front of the group and drew a long, slim-bladed stiletto from a sheath at the back of his belt. He grinned as he showed it to the women.
His son will be angry. I don't care. I don't fear him. Or any of you. Even the man with one eye.
At a sign from his chief, one of the sec men stooped and picked up a paddle from the nearest canoe. He slapped it a few times on the water, the noise echoing across the lagoon until it faded. Tamal waved his hand again, and the man stopped.
I decided this would be best. It will show you and the others what happens to those who stand against me. Show the pack in Lowellton what awaits them. And I shall take some fucking delight in it. Start, dear Mephisto.
The sec boss moved in front of the old man, weaving the knife in his fingers. He glanced around to make sure the pitcher of hot tar was ready, and then bowed to the two women.
Watch.
J.B. removed his fedora and banged it against the back of one of the seats, raising a cloud of dust.
We're wasting fucking time. You're more like damn kids and men who want to fight. We got to go first. We got to have the best blasters. We got to drive the swamp wag. We got to... Motherfucking Stoops.
He's right. It's close to dark. We got us a good plan. One that might just work. And all we've done for the last hour is pick our asses and chew around and round and waste time.
This is our ville, Ryan. Our enemy. Our battle.
Then fucking fight it on your fucking own. You're like fucking kids at a fucking game. It's my fucking ball, so you can't fucking play. Fuck!
Ryan considered firing a triple burst into the star-embossed ceiling. Instead, he outshouted them.
Shut up! Now! This is it. Our way or none at all. It's what we do and we do well. It's not up for argument, get it?
Sure. Guess it's the only way. Your way.
Right. Now we can talk details. Just you and us and six of your best.
The kid sucked on his teeth. In that unguarded moment, Ryan glimpsed the child of 14 living inside the body of the trained killer.
Yeah. Not all of us are good with blasters. You see, Ryan, we all read and write. Pa made sure of that. Years ago. And his pa. There's men and women here with all the skills. They know electrics, power, water, farming, crops, land. How to do all that. They all got a real skill.
What's your skill, young Jack?
Killing.
Mephisto started off by slicing off all the old man's fingers, one by one. First holding the wrist on one hand, then the other, to gain enough purchase to force the blade through the knuckle joints. Blood spurted, and the old man struggled and cried out, but the sec men were too strong for him. That was when Christy saw the reason for the cauldron of smoking pitch. At a nod from Mephisto, the guards thrust their prisoner's hands into the scalding, sticky liquid. Instantly there came the hiss of steam and the smell of scorched flesh. Lauren's body stiffened, then went limp. Tar coated his wrist.